Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And folks, you only have so much time. Time is finite. The day and the hour, which we don't know, is coming. And that what is coming is the day we either lose our Constitution or we actually get it out from the peril, off of the precipice that it is on today. I can't understand how there's so many people. Now, I do get it. I mean, there's not a lot of people that are listening to this message. And I completely understand. And I thank those of you who've been bearing through this. You need to do more. You need to actually start spreading the word. You need to actually start becoming the change that you expect to see in your county. Because it is now or never. You have to start acting like we don't have the time. We have to start behaving as if our very existence depends on changing the course of your government at the local level. There's no way we're going to affect the top level until we get through the local and the middle level, which is the county and your state. It's really that simple. This isn't rocket science. And you have plenty of people that are willing to actually help you and get involved. Prove me wrong that reasonable people equally informed will not disagree. Because I will tell you, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. And when I said, I think I said that wrong, that will not disagree, I mean that they won't agree at all. Because bottom line, you know, I believe most people are reasonable. I just believe that we're very ideologically wired and we tend to gravitate in one direction or the other. But that does not mean that people cannot actually agree upon the fundamentals that we need to be protecting our liberty. So on Feedback Friday, we're going to have a very special message that's kind of going to go back through. And I'm going to reiterate my advisement for Idaho, for you and your state. It's a very sad message to conservatives. You need to be the deliverer. You need to be the bearer of bad news to conservatives. And I'm going to try something different tomorrow because I know a lot of people have heard Bye Bye Miss American Pie, or I think it's, I think that's the title of the song by Don McLean. And so I'm actually going to play that in the background as I read, or not read, but as I kind of orate. And, well, as a matter of fact, that right there happens to be an interruption that I wasn't even prepared for. So I try to keep all my phones out of here and on silent. And obviously I didn't get a chance to do that. So what we want to do is we want to be able to get everybody engaged in getting getting your counties on track, getting your government responsible. I can't imagine any person, any good public servant, that wouldn't want to be held fully accountable to their oath of office in supporting the Constitution. A good public servant, when you challenge them and say, you have violated your oath, and they understand the Constitution, which means that they are no longer eligible to be a public servant, they should say, well, I should step down. If you're willing to forgive me, I won't do it again. But I should step down because I'm no longer eligible. That's the kind of public servants we need. They're not up there to do their own building, to line their pockets with gold. They're not up there to, to create compromise in selling you out and taking away your rights. They're up there to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And literally, we are at war, folks. We are at war, and we only have so much time. Again, time is finite. We do not have an unlimited resource of time. So here it goes. We need you to really help start pushing and promoting the show and the content of this show. And as you do that, and as you start building your county, I'd like you to tell me what organization out there, if you're involved in an organization like the John Birch Society, like the Tactical Civics, health freedom types of organizations, Second Amendment rights, and so forth, how many of those organizations are willing to pay you to do what you need to do? And I'm not talking about paying you as a profession, as something you do on the side to doing this. There's a portal and an opportunity for you to actually, you know, kind of become a radio figure in monetizing the show and going down that path. But the end goal is not for me to pay for the government or the self-government of the people or this show to do that. We are only a temporary support system, because your end goal is to get your county to create the necessary citizen vigilance and empowering the citizens to holding every public servant that represents that county accountable to their oath of office and removing them immediately. That doesn't mean that you get a chance to go to trial. Now, if you believe that you've been removed, you know, where you actually did support the Constitution, then okay, then you have a compelling issue to go to the court where the court will actually say, yep, you as a public servant did actually follow the Constitution. But you better understand and know the Constitution so that you can actually serve the people. Anyway, and this goes down all of these different spirals. We have to start testing. We need to demand constitutional understanding. You know, you have to be able to pass a test that at least you understand the Constitution before you should even be able to become a public servant. Have some standards, folks. I mean, come on. You know, you if you want to have children, you got to get married and you got to be able to have kids. And so, I mean, there's certain things that are either in your favor or against your favor, right? There's no way around that, right? Anyway, let me kind of go through the obligatories, and then we're going to get into the titles, because we ended up on the title for agriculture, and so we'll get into that when we get through these things. So as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We also want you to go out and get yourself a subscription for the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. You need to see what they are doing, because you need to have a likewise paper in your state. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see that the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle is not the perfect end-all of, you know, constitutional news and objective reporting. So this is your model and your base, and you should be working, actually, as you subscribe, you should actually be working with these folks at the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle in trying to do a similar model in your state as well. Because we are coming for the news media. We are coming for the press. We are shutting the press down. Or I should say, we are shutting the platforms down. And we are going to empower the press. What does that mean? Well, you have to define the press. This is where we got to go down these issues. And that's what we're going to do next after we go through these titles, the Federal Registry of powers that they've usurped and that they claim they have. We also want to help you understand that if you need to understand the Constitution, then go to constitutioneducation.us. Keith Broders has plenty of content up there, and start using that content. A lot of those things are really quick, short types of messages and lessons that you should be able to inject into meetings or what have you, your central committee meeting, any type of meeting that you're having with patriots. Make it educational as well. Make it sure that when everybody leaves that day, they've learned something as well as participated and been a part of something. Okay? And I can't emphasize enough that if you're looking for any type of protections of equipment and so forth, you spend a lot of money on this stuff. Might as well buy a protective cover. Go to Stan Kluett at RadioDustCovers.com. Stan Kluett will have what you need, and he can custom build whatever it is you need. You got a yacht? I'm sure he could put together a yacht cover for you. I don't think you'd be happy. Anyway, that'd be a lot of work, I'm sure. Anywho, okay, so let's kind of move on, and actually let's just dive into these titles, because it's important that I give you a clear understanding of the magnitude of how far these folks have gone in aggrandizing their powers. So we already covered domestic security, and I say this, domestic security is a very specific thing that they can do. And what they're doing today in the name and under the guise of domestic security, they do not have the power and authority, period. They do not have the power and authority to be controlling all of these things. So, you know, anything that new comes along, if they want to be able to do it, they can, they don't, if they don't have the power to exercise the role, responsibility, or powers of a Department of Transportation, go look at the Department of Transportation and what it can do. And if they don't have the authority in the Constitution to do that, then they don't have the authority in the Constitution to do a lot of things they're doing in the name of domestic security. So the agriculture, this title, this power, this registry of agriculture, one of the things that they have underneath this is what, and this is what I couldn't say yesterday, I found it in my book, because I actually talk about this in my book, it's the Commodity Credit Corporation. And so we'll talk about the Commodity Credit Corporation and why this is a problem and why the states need to take this back. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so the Commodity Credit Corporation is a federal agency that its responsibility is to store a emergency food supply. Now, you got to understand that a government's focus of fighting war and prosecuting war, and really, that's what they do. That's what's in the Constitution, not feeding people and being humanitarians. They, you know, it's government is a very cruel thing, which is why we this is why the framers contained it. They contained it the way they did so that it can't get out of the box. So there's no power delegated in the Constitution to the federal government over agriculture at all. So one, this is a completely unconstitutional title. and more importantly, this concept of being nice and compassionate in being able to take food, because what you don't know, in 2006, when the prices of food, because of the collapse and because of the economy, the way things were heading in 2006, the price of food actually started going up. The reason you didn't see the price go up and why it still maintained relatively flat costs in food until 2010 timeframe, at the end of 2010, was because the Commodity Credit Corporation was dumping corn, wheat, and rice into the food markets as they were emptying the silage, not to feed people, but to suppress the rise in the cost of food. So that what happened at the end of 2010, and there was an awesome article about this in Seeking Alpha that exposed what happened, how the federal government manipulated the food commodities in keeping them and suppressing them, so that when all of a sudden there was no more extra food just being dumped into the pipeline, the food price shot up. What was the result of that? Well, people started starving in third world nations, i.e. the Arab Spring began in most of the Arab nations in the northern parts of Africa, because that's a place where they just can't grow their own food. They're dependent on the importation of food. And then all of a sudden, with this huge spike in food, well, families had to start making decisions of who could eat or how much they could eat, because it was too expensive. That caused the revolt. If you understand anything, Aristotle talks about the two things that cause people to revolt. One is starve the people, and the second one is let the people realize how government is getting rich off of their hard work. The people will revolt. And folks, we got that going on right now. We have that going on. We are going to be starving soon. Do you want to wait until you don't have enough food and you're going to be more of a compromised body of people to not be able to wage an effective revolution when we don't even need to fight a revolution? We have all of the rights and powers in the Constitution to force compliance. Why wait? Why wait till we have to revolt? And as a matter of fact, they want you to wait. They want you to revolt. Because if you revolt, that means that you're throwing off the existing constitution and government. We have to cling on to this. We have to fight and defend it. That's what we should be doing now. This is why this is so important. Anyway, Title 8, Aliens and Nationality. Now, clearly the power is very specific in the Constitution. Immigration. Not aliens, not nationality, it's immigration. And they do have the power for immigration. They don't have the power to manage aliens, to provide refugees status, or anything like that. To be clear, folks, this is another way that they have been orchestrating a disaster to overrun us, overrun you, so that they can create the government to enslave, because these people that are coming here as refugees, these people that are coming here from this, from Latin America and so forth, that are invading us, they are not to be citizens. They are subjects to the global estate, to the state of entitlement. They're coming here for their handouts and for whatever else they can exploit you and our system. Folks, we have to hold these people accountable. That's why I started this whole show off with a good government, a perfect government will allow you, the people, to hold them fully accountable and will quickly stand down. Any good representative of the people will quickly stand down when you've proven to them that they have violated. And you don't even have to prove it in a court of law. You just say, hey, that was a violation. And then they need to step down. Now, they can challenge that, but they still have to step down first. There has to be a process that they're removed immediately, and then they have to challenge, and then there has to be a full validation or verification. Did they actually violate their oath? If they violated their oath by not supporting, to be clear, The ineligibility is failing to support the Constitution. You violate the Constitution. You do something that the Constitution doesn't allow you to do. You have no right to be a public servant anymore, which means that every public servant out there has no right to be a public servant anymore. Folks, it's got to start somewhere. And why not now? And why not with our current public servants? And why not yourself? Why aren't you the one out there campaigning to say, I will step down if I violate the Constitution? There you go. It's that simple. Anyway, the next title, which is Title IX. Title IX, right? Now, people hear Title IX and they think education, right? You hear Title IX regarding these, you know, programs in school and so forth. Well, Title IX in the Federal Registry is animals and animal products. So I don't know how education got jammed underneath some of these things, but, you know, we do hear Title IX is one of those things. And here it is, animals and animal products. Title X, energy. Now, there's nothing in the Constitution regarding animal projects, energy. It's just not there, folks. But they have the ability to create regulations and laws. Bureaucracy of laws regarding animals, animal products, and energy? I'm sorry. Sorry, they don't. These are just two more usurped powers. The next one is Title 11, which is federal elections. Now, it clearly delineates very little power to the federal government in Article 1 regarding elections and the calling of elections, but elections are executed by the states and state legislators. And so when we look at elections, we have to actually go to the states and look at what the states should be doing. And that's it, folks. I mean, they don't have the ability to actually start controlling and injecting these standards or anything like that. As a matter of fact, these campaign finance rules and everything else, there's nowhere in there where they talk about this. The states need to take this back. And as a matter of fact, I talk all the time. We're going to go through these as soon as we get through these titles. We're going to go through how to create laws that make all elections local, how you can take back your elections and remove foreign influence. When I say foreign influence, influence that does not belong in the election area. In other words, the foreigners could be the people in the county next to you. If it's your county commissioner race, the only people that should be able to influence, in other words, pay, talk, support, endorse, they have to be within that county. They have to be a resident and or in that county. Well, so you have to be a resident and you need to be a citizen. I don't care. If you're a U.S. citizen, you don't have to be a voter because I believe every citizen has rights. If you are a U.S. citizen, you have these rights. If you're not a registered voter, because 17-year-olds aren't registered voters, and I don't want to see 17-year-olds vote. I don't even want to see 18-year-olds vote anymore. I want to see 21-year-olds vote. They say, well, if you can go fight, you should be able to vote. Well, I don't know. I think you should have your rights, and you should be able to petition, and you need to learn and understand the Constitution first. But I have a problem with just allowing kids to vote, to say, you know, you have this, you know, right to go vote. No, no, no. It's a responsibility, and that responsibility has to be in line with the Constitution. This is why I believe before anybody can actually vote and be registered to vote in the state needs to execute the oath of a citizen so that that person actually raises their arm to the square and they swear that they as a citizen will protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. We don't want these people to be, you know, supporting parties and ideologies. Their legal obligation and our legal obligation is to support the Constitution. The reason we're in this mess is because we have all sorts of people not supporting the Constitution and supporting all these different ideologies, whether it be the ideology of gun rights, whether it be the ideology of communism. It doesn't matter. You're creating something over what it needs, what we're supposed to be supporting. Even though the right to bear arms may be in the Constitution, it may be there, it may be in that Second Amendment, and we know it's there, But it is not the end all. We have to support the entire Constitution, not just that one little line in the Constitution. We cannot cherry pick what we want to support and what we don't want to support. It's almost like Christian churches that only support certain parts of the Bible or certain doctrines. We have to support the full doctrines as Christians, what's in that Bible, right? What's in the Scriptures. We have to follow that. It's that simple, folks. So the next title, Title 12, is banks and banking. Well, that should be a no-brainer. They should be able to do that. Well, actually, banks is not mentioned in the Constitution. They don't have the power to create a bank. They don't. They have the power to create credit with banks, but they don't have the power to create a bank. And this goes back to the old Assumption Act and a lot of implications and assumptions. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so banks. A lot of people just say, oh yeah, we accept this idea. We accept this concept that, you know, we have this, you know, the government has this power to have a bank. Well, so where was that power in the Articles of Confederation? It didn't exist. As a matter of fact, states had their own banks. States were autonomous states that had their own financing. The United States government, this new government under the Constitution, consolidated the currency into one currency. That's all it did. So they had the power to coin money. They had the power to establish and standardize the currency. And states also have the power to coin that same money for the states as well. But here's the thing, folks. They don't have the ability to create a bank, to create a reserve, to create this holding and play with, you know, loans and bonds and those types of things. Now, there needs to be an amendment, and that's the process of doing it right. Because bottom line, if it's in front of everybody and it goes out into the states and it's debated in the public forum, we will not have a system like this private Federal Reserve system that we have. The Federal Reserve does not need to be audited. It needs to be shut down. It is unconstitutional, and all of these things that they're doing and all of this debt that they're taking on to spend on unconstitutional powers is unconstitutional. I can't be any clearer. George Nicholas was the one in the ratification debates, and they all basically stated this, but he got very clear in this, that they cannot create a treaty, which is basically a debt agreement. They cannot create a debt agreement for something they have no power to create that debt for. In other words, they want to spend money on welfare. They want to spend money on education. They want to spend money on health care. Folks, they can't do it. And the reason they can't do it is because the powers are not enumerated. So they can't create the debt to be able to do that. They can't go into the United Nations and become a part of the United Nations and then all of a sudden fund the United Nations. All of this stuff is a facade. And banking is a huge part of this. This is one of the reasons why banking was injected as one of the very first titles as a part of the registry. So just to be clear, here is just another power that they've usurped that they don't have the power to do. It's that simple, folks. Now, this next one, Title 13, Business Credit and Assistance. Show me in the Constitution where they have the ability to do this. It's not there. They don't have the ability to help businesses, but they do it. At whose expense? At our expense, at our children's expense. And in so doing, they create these strings like thugs. It's almost like making a deal with the mafia when you empower people with guns and force, deadly force. Next thing you know, in some ways, I hear people referring to the government as a crime syndicate. The government itself is not, but the things that they are doing is crime syndicate stuff because they have no authority to do this stuff. So, just to be clear, our government is a legitimate government, and some of the things, the illegitimate things that they are doing is illegitimate. Don't confuse the two. Don't, because what they're doing is illegitimate, so our government's illegitimate. No, we've just got tyrants, and we have people that have no business. We have people that are ineligible to serve that are continuing to serve because we're not holding them accountable. It goes right back to us. That we have to start doing this. This is why we have to flex our muscles at the county, then we'll flex our muscles at the state, and then we can flex our muscles with the national government and with the world. Because we're basically going to, I don't want to use the word flip off, but we're basically going to give the world a good backhand to say, you were all a part of trying to undermine this great republic, and you have been benefiting at our expense. Your free ride is over. We're no longer subsidizing your global communism anymore. Wow, what a message, right? And some of the best ways of doing that is basically going out to Hong Kong, Taiwan, and all these other places to say, we're no longer going to be supporting anybody unless you are interested in becoming a state. We're not going to be the policeman to protect all commerce. We're only going to protect our commerce as it flows across the seven seas. So if China wants to protect their commerce, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, then they have to protect their commerce as well. Or they have to start funding the United States in, you know, because it's kind of like somebody's got to do it. And we don't want a world government to do this. But we do have a government that was created to allow it to actually, I'll just say, take over the world. It's God's plan of globalism. Because in this United States, any state can become a part of this union. They just have to abide by the laws, the finances, our monetary system, so forth and so on. English, those things that are mandatory, they would have to transition and become a part before they could become a part of the United States. They could become a territory, but and not necessarily citizens, they'd be inhabitants. Anyway, hopefully that all makes sense, and we get into this quite a bit, but let me move on. Title 14, Aeronautics and Space, also known as the Federal Aviation Regulations. Well, doggone it, I don't think that they had that in the Constitution. Do you think the framers even considered aeronautics and space back then? Don't think so. So when things come along, and you say, you know what, we probably need to have something for this, well, technically, we do. We have the Navy, and the Navy has, you know, this ability to, you know, fly and do all of these things. And so the Navy can do this, but the federal government can't create these aviation regulations for private citizens and for states. They can't do it. It's not there. They don't have the power delegated to them to do this. It's kind of simple, folks. Commerce and foreign trade. Now, that is something that they do have very specific power for, and only the specific power. They don't have this, they can get into, you know, regulating how, you know, toilets flush and the way light bulbs are made. They don't have that kind of power. But they do have the power of making sure that one state cannot wage, you know, economic warfare with another state or get into hostilities on, pricing for agriculture. They can only do, and they have to be basically fair and even with everybody. Nobody can be creating taxes or disadvantages to different states in the Union, even though that's what happened in the Civil War or that led up to the Civil War. But bottom line, commerce and foreign trade is something that they can do, but they've even expanded their knickers well beyond what they should be doing regarding commerce and foreign trade. The next title, number 16, is commercial practices. Are you kidding me, folks? I'm not kidding you. Commercial practices, they've assumed this job, this role, responsibility of commercial practices. Now, we're not talking about TV commercials. We're talking about like businesses and commerce and those types of things. They don't have the authority. They do have the authority to establish weights and measures. That's right there in the Constitution and those types of standards, but they can't create business standards. Each state has its own job of doing that. Now, if the states wanted to delegate that, and see, this is where we go down this path of where I have to say something. If the states want to actually have standards and practices, it would be wise of them to work together to create them outside of the federal government. And the reason I say this is because the states can actually serve themselves in doing that. When they give it to the federal government only uses it against them to manipulate them and exploit them. Why would we want to do that? They've only proven that that's what they do with everything that they've taken from us. So commercial practices, unconstitutional. Commodity and security exchanges. In other words, the stock market and the commodities market, the exchanges. Are you kidding me? That's not in the Constitution. They don't have the power to do that. If so, then it wouldn't be NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. It should be the Washington, D.C. Exchange. And everything should be done centralized within the national. But it's not. They don't have the authority. They stepped in. They usurped it by allowing. So what ended up happening when the stock market crashed and when they created this Security Exchange Commission was because rich people got richer and poor people got poorer. They said, we need to come in and fix this so this never happens again. Well, guess what? It's still happening today. Rich people still get richer and poor people still get poorer to play in the markets. They only protect themselves and they only protect those who are greasing their skids. So, folks, we need to get these folks out of it. We need to get the federal government out of it. This needs to go back to the states. And, oh, by the way, if you're participating in the New York Stock Exchange and you don't live in New York, you may not have a right of representation for any problems or injustices you may be served. So you may want to actually look to see if there's an exchange or something like that in your state. Why is it that we all piled into these single commodities and exchanges in New York, in London, and so forth? Oh, well, because this is where they created these little vacuums for power to be created, and that's why they went there. It's not because you are protected, and it's not because they're serving you. It is all because this is where they can actually create the conditions of exploiting you. And so, to be clear, you are better served, and we've got to get rid of these things. But the commodity and security exchanges is title 17. When we come back, it'll be title 18. There are 50. There are 50 to go. So hopefully we'll wrap up in this next segment. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we'll try to wrap this up. The point is that so many of these things are unconstitutional. It's not funny. It's not funny. So let's kind of just go through these. Conservation of power and water resources. Not in the Constitution, but they're doing it, and they can't, and this is why we have problems. As Milton Friedman stated a long, long time ago, if you gave the federal government, the United States government, the power to, you know, gave them to the Sahara Desert to manage, within 5 years, they would run out of sand. That's how bad they are in managing businesses, resources, and those types of things. They're awesome at fighting war. They're awesome at, you know, playing psyops and manipulation and those types of things. But when it comes down to doing good business stuff, business practices, and so forth, sorry. That, you know, you don't, you, it's like education. Why would you want to empower the people that can kill you the ability to educate you? Customs and duties. Clearly that is within the Constitution for Title 19. Title 20, employees' benefits. Okay, that makes sense. Food and drugs? Heck no. 21, food and drugs? No way. Foreign relations. Now, they do have this ability to have foreign relations. And that really is the president, not Congress. Congress is overstepping its separations of power by actually creating this regulation. Now, the State Department is an executive department, but the State Department and its responsibility is to basically adhere to the Constitution. They don't have the ability to manipulate and play those types of games. They just don't. That's not delegated to them. What they do have is the power to create trade, and that is it. Trade agreements and so forth. And the policies that were established by the framers from Washington of non-interference, or in Monroe's case, the Monroe Doctrine, that, you know, anything being done in the Western Hemisphere, you know, we have a say on that. It's the same thing. We've kind of grown the Monroe Doctrine. That's okay. But it has to be in our best interest, not in our best interest of controlling our own people and the world. Government has gotten so out of control, folks. But anyway, Title 23, highways. Title 24, housing and urban development. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you, folks, these things aren't within the Constitution. They have no business messing with them. Title 25, Indians. Indigenous people, whatever. You want to, you know, the Native Americans, whatever. Indians? Now, the Constitution does basically state that Indians not taxed cannot be apportioned and so forth. The problem is, and the framers actually put us on the path of alleviating and getting rid of this problem because they were on the path of assimilating all of the Native Americans into our society. But instead, you know, it's always better because what does Satan like to do? Satan likes to divide and conquer. So by not allowing them to assimilate and becoming a part of and a, you know, a solid, you know, member of, a solid contributor of our society, well, we'll keep them separate because now we have a perfect means of division. We got all of these different divisions, and in this particular case, it is of a culture and or a race. Are you kidding me? Here in America, are you kidding? This is a problem, and this actually has to be dealt with, and I actually talk about this. This is what I consider the domestic abuse. The fact is that as the conquering nation, the successful conquering nation, under the laws of nature, not our own laws, under the laws that were governing the world at the time, we should have actually, and technically, the federal government violated the laws of nations by not really assimilating these people. And they didn't have to. They weren't required, but that's what they should have done. And by not doing so, it's caused all these problems. And the states need to end the domestic abuse today. And they can do that, but that's another show for another topic and another time. Internal revenue, also known as the Treasury regulations. In other words, your income tax and all of those types of things. Now, clearly they have the ability to tax. They have the right to be able to tax us. But again, this goes back to what I always say. We have to look at what they need to function. And then we can talk about what they're and how they're going to gain the revenues to cover the cost of government for them to function appropriately in accordance with the Constitution. Title 27, Alcohol, Tobacco Products, and Firearms, the ATF. This is the regulation that created the ATF. Now, folks, Prohibition ended, right? And why is it that they all of a sudden came up with, in 1935, the need to have an ATF, right? The alcohol should not be federally regulated other than for tax purposes. That's it. So why is it? And that's a revenue issue. And the way it was done was it was administered by the states. That's how taxes should be done. They should be administered by the states. So this whole ATF, again, another unconstitutional entity. The judicial administration. What? So I believe that this right here is the administration and the management and the agenda for what we call the mercantile court system. The mercantile court system is operating, and the only way it was able to take over the common law, unconstitutionally take over the common law, is, you know, it create these bar associations for the states and start moving the education and everybody in pushing out this acceptance of the law of the land and accepting an unconstitutional law and legal and court system, which is the, and it's not mercantile, it's admiralty, I'm sorry. Mercantile is the economic system that we're using. The admiralty court system. Labor, and here's the interesting thing, it's title number 29. Well, actually, it would be ironic if it was title 26, because in 1926, that is when Calvin Coolidge became the advocate and champion for an amendment to the Constitution to allow the federal government to regulate child labor. However, the states rejected that amendment and said, no way, no how. We don't trust you. We're not going to give this to you. And so they didn't get it. They don't have the power, role, or responsibility regarding labor in any form at all. So how is it that they have this title? Interesting. It's the same thing with the Department of Transportation, right? But we go through that quite often here. Title 30, mineral resources. Now, they control all of the gold. They control all of the minerals under your feet. Now, when did that happen? When did that amendment get passed, that they control all minerals of the United States? Sorry, they don't. And as a matter of fact, they started deviating from that quickly in the 1800s when it came to salt mines and so forth. Now, they didn't take control of them. They just basically stated that the states could not sell them out, that they had to be maintained as state resources. Interesting, right? So at least they were starting to basically help prepare the states to say, this is a very important resource that you need to guard from, you know, being bought out by a chemical company or, you know, some company that's going to exploit us and the people. Anyway, money and finance, or the Treasury Department. Really? I mean, so they've got a couple over banking, the IRS, revenues, and now finance. Commercial practice. You see my point? All of these things would actually fall under the Treasury Department. We don't need six different titles so far that would cover something that would all fall underneath the Department of Treasury and the few powers that are delegated to it. Okay, so, and there are very specific powers that they have. They do not have the power for banking. I can't emphasize that enough. National defense. Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't hurt my head, other than the fact that we need to discuss exactly what that is. And the states need to be having this conversation. Do the states really feel like we're more secure and more protected in our national defense today than we were back in the 1800s? I don't think so. And as a matter of fact, the states need to actually start stepping up and getting the Senate involved by taking the Senate back, by rescinding the 17th Amendment. Another topic for another show. 33, navigation and navigable waters. Okay, that's always been, you know, a federal thing. No problem with that, because the boundaries around the United States, as well as navigable waters, because navigable waters are basically water highways that commerce can come in from other ports, other nations, and so forth. So this was considered a line of communication. This was considered a federal transitory, you know, border or access. And so, okay, I'm okay with this, but this really needs to probably fall underneath the Department of the Navy and the Department of Defense, because technically it's about security purposes, not necessarily commerce. Because bottom line, the commerce is, you know, conducted at the ports itself. The security of making sure that not hostile, you know, ships coming into our, you know, coastal lines and up our rivers, you know, we got to do that first. So this should actually be a Department of Defense, and it would be a sub part of that. We don't need a separate title. When they start aggrandizing, creating all these different titles and then diving into all these things, folks, that's just a sign of bureaucracy and trying to aggrandize themselves more and more and more and more. There's no limit to what they can take from you if they feel they have the general powers to do so, but they don't. You have to assert the fact that they don't have any powers to do these things. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.